Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson here with today's Midday Interview. My guest today is Rick Olson, PhD. I could call him Dr. Richard Olson, but he probably wouldn't answer me because he's more casual than that. He is the chair of the Department of Communication Studies at UNCW, and he's here to tell us about a very intriguing event. It is a panel discussion, the third annual faculty symposium, which Rick Olson will moderate. And the title for this symposium is It's 5 o'clock Somewhere, The Lighter and Darker Sides of Alcohol. And what I'm most intrigued about is that it really will address the lighter and darker sides of alcohol. The session is Monday evening from 7 to 9 at Morton Hall, room 100. It's free, and there's nearby parking available. So all that being said, Rick Olson, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, it's great.
Now, you've had previous forums that focused on love and on time. What brought you to this particular topic?
Well, when we started brainstorming, this is the College of Arts and Sciences. We've got 26 or more departments, and our goal is to really kind of give back to the region and also sort of remind everybody why it's a College of Arts and Sciences. So we try and find topics that scientists can comment on, the liberal arts can comment on, social science can comment on. And we started with, when we brainstormed for topics, we've got a long list, and we're just trying to go through them as quickly as we can, but we try to pick topics that intersect with culture, science, history, philosophy, religion, and love and time, and now alcohol just fit those criteria, and so we're diving in.
Absolutely. That does touch so many aspects of so many people's lives, and whether we drink or don't drink, we're around that all the time, so it's interesting to take a look at how it manifests in all of our lives. For those who've never attended one of these panel discussions, one of these symposia, what is the session like?
Well, I think the main thing to really understand is that we know exactly who we're trying to talk to, which is people who may miss the best parts of college, right? The fun part was that really engaging lecturer who was brilliant but accessible and gave a really clear takeaway about what to know and what to do with what we just learned. And yet, no homework, no quizzes, no 8 a.m. class, no crazy roommate.
You're talking my language.
Yeah,
this is good stuff.
So if you miss the best parts of college, that's who it's for, you know, of any age, whether you just got out and you kind of wish you were still there or whether you've been out for a while, and really, really trying to make it accessible and fun and engaging, and it'll be interactive too.
Oh, so there'll be a chance for the audience members to ask questions?
Absolutely, yeah.
Wonderful. So we've talked about who the ideal attendee is. It sounds like I need to get myself in there. I'm glad it's free and it's Monday evening. Let's talk now about the panelists and their topics, because it's really, as you said, covering arts and sciences and everything in between and around that. And some of the topics coming up, I mean, they all sound really interesting to me. So let's kind of go through that. And by the way, if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Rick Olson, PhD. He's the chair of the Department of Communication Studies at UNCW, presenting along with his colleagues the third annual faculty symposium. It's a panel discussion, which Rick will moderate. And this one's called It's 5 o'clock Somewhere, The Lighter and Darker Sides of Alcohol.
Yeah. And so the topics that we're going to get into really try and get at that range. So, you know, everything has a history. So we'll start with history. And Paul Townend is a wonderful speaker. He's a frequent speaker to non-academic audiences. And he'll be talking a little bit about the long history of alcohol in Ireland and how that all relates, the good, the bad, the ugly of that whole thing. And then we'll shift gears to some scientific topics about the sort of the chemistry of inebriation and getting into that stuff with Steve Kinsey and Rich Ogle from psychology, diving into the healthy and non-healthy aspects of alcohol from the perspective of his discipline of psychology. So,
yeah, back up. You said Stephen Kinsey, professor of biology,
yeah,
is talking about the physiological, biochemical aspects.
Right.
Right.
And again, that may sound boring until you hear him illuminate it. And then when you realize, oh, wow, I thought I understood what it did and how long it stays in my body and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
But he'll be right there with, you know, the latest understandings, cutting through the myths and the internet extreme you know, stuff, and really getting down to what's the good science tell us about how our bodies interact with alcohol and what that all means and all of that sort of stuff. And again, very engaging.
Yes. And how some people can enjoy it, celebrate it,
tolerate
it perfectly well, and other people can't go anywhere near it or something in between.
Yeah,
there.
What's going on with with that little shift in somebody's DNA that says, I can't even take a drink ever, and then other people seem to be able to. to enjoy it in moderation or even seem to be in excess and yet seem to wake up perfectly fine. And mm-hmm. so all of that stuff obviously connects with our biology and physiology, right. and he'll be diving into that.
And you said a psychology professor as well?
Yeah, Rich Ogle, who's a good friend of mine and very, very great blend of clinician and theoretician, and he's pulling that together to talk a little bit about what we know about the positive and negative manifestations through the lens of his discipline of psychology.
Right. That's alcohol, behavior, and health, the good, yes. the bad, and the ugly. One of the things that comes to mind when I think about alcoholism and have looked at friends in my life who've been affected by that, or friends in my life who can drink and have a wonderful time, and it's never been a problem and it never will be a problem for them, is that there seem to be some cultural aspects of it, and that could certainly be where DNA comes into play. It seems like certain nationalities or certain religious groups or certain cultural groups, certain ethnic groups, have a different approach or a different reaction to alcohol and to other potentially addictive substances.
Yeah, there are certainly connections between the way cultures normalize alcohol.
Yes.
And certainly in our culture, with a later drinking age and a few other things, it's seen as a rite of passage and a taboo mm-hmm. and a risk and an area of sort of thrilling risk and a variety mm-hmm. of other things. Not that that doesn't happen in other cultures, but it's definitely treated very differently. And we'll explore some of that, our own culture, through Nick Lodadio's presentation. He's going to talk a little bit about understanding popular music and alcohol. So he'll be kind of diving into the ways in which it is framed and defined and celebrated in country music and popular music and a variety of other things. And he's a funny guy. So that should be a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Herb Berg, wide-ranging scholar in philosophy and religion, is also going to explore those cultural connections, but also tag it into religious traditions and
yes.
all of those kinds of things,
yes.
which obviously heavily inform our understanding and the place that alcohol plays in a variety of world religions.
Yes. I remember the first time I was invited to a Passover Seder. I was a member of a very loose, wide-open church out in the Los Angeles area, and there was a Jewish congregation nearby that had no building. And so they would use our church on Friday nights for Sabbath services and on Saturday for all kinds of following activities for the rest of the Sabbath. And then we'd take it over on Saturday night and Sunday and go on through the week. And one of the things they did in appreciation for us was to have a Passover Seder in our fellowship hall. And I was probably maybe 12 years old, and they poured me a glass of Mogan David, and I was supposed to drink it, and everybody else wasn't. And that was my first taste of alcohol, yeah. which I promptly went and spit out in the drinking fountain because
right.
I thought, yo, what
right.
is that?
Right.
And then the man next to me said, well, I'll take care of drinking your wine for the rest of the meal. But it was so interesting. And for me, this is a topic that really hits close to home because my great-grandparents' generation in Sweden, they were all in various parts of mm-hmm. Sweden, various states over there, had alcoholism just rampant in that generation. So my grandparents' generation all joined Temperance Lodge, mm-hmm. and they swore they would never even taste alcohol. My parents also, at age 10, took the pledge. And then my generation thought, oh, pfft, that doesn't matter,
right.
you know, and my brother and my sister and I, none of us turned out to be able to tolerate alcohol. We thought, no big deal. And it's like, oh,
yeah,
this is a big deal. My body's going crazy.
You
know? So it's very interesting how the scientific, genetic aspects of it come into play and then the cultural aspects of it, too.
Yeah. And I think the benefit of this panel is by hearing all about those various facets simultaneously, you don't inadvertently emphasize one thing and say, oh, alcohol is bad because alcoholism happens. You know, you've got this range of understanding of alcohol mm-hmm. and its role in culture and religion. And that's what I think makes the evening so wonderful.
Yes, and I admire cultures and individuals that I know who can use alcohol to celebrate. I just think that's great. And I can go to a place where alcohol is being served and have a wonderful time with my friends and not feel left out. It took
right.
me a while to get used to doing that, you know. Many years ago, if I would go to a party, people were always like, why don't you have a drink? Why don't
right.
you have a drink? But that pressure has
mm-hmm.
eased up.
Yeah.
So I think that it is a great celebratory, wonderful thing to have. There are perhaps some other addictive substances that I'm not so sure what the celebratory aspects of them are, but alcohol certainly offers that to
yes.
those that can enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which reminds me, you know, given the topic, will there be alcohol served at this event?
No, there won't. But if anybody wants to organize an after party, you know, we they can email us after the. Or
you can go drinking.
Come down front
with these professors and have a chance to celebrate with them. These topics are also interesting, but I have to tell you, I encourage you to go to a website and look this up because the topic titles are really quite wonderful. Like Nicholas Laudadio, the professor of English, he says, "I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy." You know, I mean, silliness like that. Rick, would you read us that wonderful quote from Oscar Wilde? Have you got that handy? Yes.
Oscar Wilde said that after the first glass, you see things as you wish they were. After the second glass, you see things as they are not. Finally, you see things as they really are, and that is the most horrible thing in the world.
Oh, Oscar Wilde. What is a website people can go to get more information about this?
Well, you can go to the UNCW College of Arts and Sciences website, and there'll be more details there.
Wonderful.
And so, that would be the recommendation right off the bat. Just go to UNCWCAS, and that'll get you all you need.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, the lighter and darker sides of alcohol, Monday from 7 to 9 in the evening, Morton Hall, room 100. It is free.
Absolutely.
And there's parking available. Thank you, Rick Olson.
Absolutely.
This is WHQR.